Now we'll get in more deeply into the Laird Douglas matter. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and they'll give you the lowdown as to what's happened so far, in case you missed it somehow. These are episodes 2 and 3 out of 5, and they come to us from April 10th and 11th, 1956.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Ray Roland, Johnny.
Oh, hi, Ray.
Just got your message. What are you doing in Philadelphia?
Oh, a case for Philly Mutual Liability and Casualty, and I may need your help. What do you know about Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote?
Why, he's one of Scotland's finest. Wait a minute. That's your case?
Yep.
Insurance?
And bodyguard. How's about lunch?
Johnny, have you met his lairdship?
Yeah, and I nearly lost a leg doing it.
Oh, then you know.
Yeah, I know. Oh, shut up.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Company in connection with my investigation, or rather my involvement in the Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote matter. And I wish I'd had some idea of what I was getting into before I ever left Hartford. But it's too late now. Expense account item 3, $39.50. One pair of slacks. For within a few minutes of my arrival in Philadelphia, Harry Branson of Philly Mutual buttonholed me and dragged me up to his office to meet two important clients he had. First was Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van Pyten.
Oh, you wonderful, wonderful man. I am so glad that you've agreed to take on this assignment. Laird Douglas Douglas means everything to me, and I have the utmost confidence in you. I'm sure Laird Douglas will, too.
And then came... Well, Mrs. Van Pyten made the introduction.
Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote, this is Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Huh? Oh, no. Holy jumping!
Douglas, oh, no, you mustn't do that.
Oh, my.
Douglas,
oh, dear, good heavens.
Get on your own chair, Harry. This one's taken. No.
Sorry, John, sorry.
Down, Douglas, down. There, dear, that's the boy. That's a nice boy.
That is Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote?
Yes, isn't he adorable? He's so playful. He was really just playing, you know. There, dear, come now.
Harry.
Yes, John?
This is the client you call me all the way down from Hartford to see?
Yes, John, yes. $7.50 a week, practically unlimited expense account.
Oh, dear, just look at your trousers, Mr. Dollar.
I don't need to, thanks. I can feel the draft.
But you'll need new ones. Here. And I insist you let me pay for it. Down, Douglas, down. Here, Mr. Dollar, will $100 be enough? No, here, $150. I can see those were very, very nice ones.
Well, you see what I mean, John?
Here, please, now I insist you take it. And if it isn't
enough... No, thanks, that's plenty. But now, Harry, you listen to
John,
me.
John, I know what you're going to say, but as I explained to you on the way up
you
here to my office...
You explained plenty, but not nearly enough.
But I tried, I really tried.
I think you and I had better have a quiet little talk, Harry, and the sooner the better.
Oh, boys, please, can't you do that another time? Please come down from those chairs so Mr. Dollar can meet Douglas and we can make all the arrangements... Please?
Mrs. Van Pyten, that's precisely what I want to talk about.
You really look very funny up there. And see, Douglas does want so much to be friends with you.
Yeah, you sure it isn't a piece of my leg he wants.
Oh, no, of course not. Here, Mr. Dollar, just give him one of these biscuits. I have them specially baked for him. And he'll be your friend for life. Really?
Huh?
Here, now just come down. And hand it to him.
Well,
he'll love you.
It's true, John, I know.
Yeah? Then what are you doing up on that chair?
I forgot, that's all. Nice, Douglas.
Huh? Please, Mr. Dollar.
Well, all I hope is he doesn't forget.
That's right. Just hand it to him.
And then he knows which is biscuit and which is my hand. Here, boy. Now, take it easy.
There, you see. now he's your friend, isn't that sweet?
Yeah, sure is. Well, I'd better get back to my hotel and change, and Harry, I'll call you.
Oh, but we haven't made the definite arrangements yet, and I'll want you staying out at our place in Germantown, the Maples. It's a lovely little place, Mr. Dollar.
Well, much as I hate to say it, I'm not quite sure about taking
this case. Oh, I know. The money. Well, don't you worry about it. Not at all. Not one bit. If you'd rather have $1,000 a week, that's what we'll make it. And I do wish do more about these poor trousers. I know. Why don't you go straight over to Wanamaker's men's store and have them tailor you a whole suit? Wouldn't that be nice? You'd look lovely.
You've already given me more than enough to buy a suit.
Oh, that. Now, just forget it. Now, you have them make you anything you want and just charge it to me. Oh, and look! Douglas Deer is licking your hand. I knew he'd like you.
Never underestimate the power of a woman, somebody once said. Or maybe they should have said never underestimate the power of a fast buck or $1,000. Anyhow, Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van Pyton had set her heart on my handling this whole affair, and she simply wasn't to be denied. Couple that with a chance to pick up enough loot in a few days to, what would you do? And the darn mutt did take a liking to me. So, with Laird Douglas in my lap... Oh, he's a Scotty, by the way.
Scottish Terrier, Mr. Dollar, if you'll pardon my correcting you.
Sorry.
And it's all because of the show at Bala Cynwyd on Friday.
Bala where?
B-A-L-A-C-Y-N-W-Y-D, John.
Yes, Bala Cynwyd. Laird Douglas simply must win. Not only best of class, but best of show. And he will, if somebody doesn't interfere.
Oh, you think somebody might do something to Douglas?
I'm sure of it, because it's been tried before.
You mean poison him or something like that?
Worse.
Oh?
Dope. Poison would let him die a hero, a martyr. But drugs would keep him from winning the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, what makes you suspect somebody might try it?
As I said, it's been tried before.
Huh?
Last year and again a few days ago. And if Harrison R. Kenworthy thinks he can do it again, he's mistaken.
Then you know who did it before.
I refuse to divulge any names.
But you just said...
Mr. Dollar, I will not tell you. All I ask is that you watch over Laird Douglas until he has won the show. Oh, and if he does win, as I'm sure he will, I'll insist that you accept a nice bonus. So you can see, I'm very, very serious.
And so it went on for another half hour or so. And finally she left, after I'd promised to pick up my bags at the hotel and move out to her joint in fashionable Germantown. I talked a few minutes longer with Harry Branson.
I'm so glad you've agreed to take this on, John. As I told you, Mrs. Van Pyton is the most important individual policyholder we have, and doing this favor
Harry,
for us...
Harry, it's not the Mutt Show at Bala Cynwyd or Laird Douglas or Mrs. Kelly Van Pyton or you I'm doing this for. It's purely love of the green stuff. Whew. That old dame must be really loaded.
John, she has so much money. She doesn't know how much she has. Industrial empire, that sort of thing.
All right. But, Harry, if word ever gets around in the trade that I came down here to play bodyguard to a mutt, so help me, I'll have your head.
Yes. But now, hadn't you better go on out to the Maples?
Well, first I want to know about this Harrison R. Kenworthy she mentioned.
Oh, that.
Yeah, that. She accused him of doping up her Scotty.
Well, she really doesn't know, and it's really quite complicated.
What do you mean?
Kenworthy owns a beautiful Kerry Blue Terrier, Lady O'Diddy's Rollamar Mane.
Holy cats, and no pun, why can't they give an honest dog an honest name? Look, we'll call her Mimi. Go ahead.
Hi, dog lovers.
Ray, just in time. Meet Harry Branson, Ray Rowland.
Oh, we know each other.
Hello, Harry boy.
Mr. Rowland.
Sure, Harry called me in last year when these two dogs were at each other's
throats. Of course,
throats.
He doesn't mean that literally, John. You see, Mr. Rowland is quite an authority on show animals.
I've held it against him for years, ever since school.
Well, there's no need to hold it against him particularly.
And I don't mean that literally.
Oh.
Well, John boy, so you came down to help yourself to a handful of dear Mrs. Kelly Van Pyton's coin. More power to you. I knew Harry would call you in on the case. Felt it in my bones. And, brother, you may be in deeper than you think.
Oh, what's that supposed to mean, Ray?
Has Harry told you about the villain of the piece, Harrison R. Kenworthy?
I was just starting to when you so rudely...
Yeah, well, Johnny, the whole setup is a riot, but just remember one thing.
Yeah?
A lot of people have been killed in riots.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
I'll tell you what he means,
Let me tell it, Harry. It would take you all day. sorry, no offense.
It's all right. Go ahead, Ray. Go ahead.
Okay, Bella Kinwid is the biggest event of the year in the doggy set, okay?
Okay.
All right. Mrs. Kelly Van Pyton owns Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote. Real fine Scotty.
Yeah, good tea, see?
Hey, those pants are really gone. Anyhow, Harrison Kenworthy owns Lady O'Diddy's Rollamar Meme, Carrie Blue.
Mimi.
Huh?
I'd get indigestion trying to say that other name.
Okay, Mimi. They're two pretty good dogs, especially Mimi. International championship blood and all that. But Mimi's the better dog. Douglas won't stand a chance. I've tried to tell her this, but...
Well, go on, go on.
Okay. Harrison Kenworthy loves Kelly Van Pyton, see?
Oh, loves her money.
Him? He's loaded, too. No, I think the old coot really loves her, and I think she loves him. Right, Harry?
Yes, I think I'm inclined to...
Right, but... Now, get this.
Yeah?
She won't marry him until her Laird Douglas beats his Lady O'Diddy, Mimi, yeah, far and squar at the Bala Kinwood show. How do you like that?
Are you kidding?
Oh, no, John, it's an accepted fact.
Right. So what happens? For over a year
Wait a minute,
now,
Ray, wait a minute. If he really wants to marry her, why doesn't he just let her dog beat his?
And let her be one up on him right from the start? Never. No, boy, he'd never live it down. You don't know these people.
Well, this is about the craziest thing I ever heard of.
To you and me, sure, but to them, it's deadly serious.
Are they in love with each other or with their dogs?
Well, it's not just love where the dogs are concerned, but pride, which is just about all a lot of these old lonely millionaires have to think about, to live for. Yea, sometimes even unto the fifth and sixth generation.
Yeah, okay, okay, I'll take your word for it. But now she said something about her dog being doped at the show last year.
Oh, yes, John. You see, it was just a couple of things.
Right, just before the finals. It was an attempt to murder the dog with poison. But emergency care, both times, pulled Laird Douglas through.
She told me it was only some kind of a dope that was used.
Oh, sure, sure. We kept the truth from her. You don't realize it, boy, but if that dog were to die, she would. Fact.
Oh, now, Ray.
Oh, yes, John. And the insurance company must keep that dog alive in order to obviate having to pay off...
Right.
After all, her policies amount to a...
Right. It may sound absurd to you, Johnny, but it's no joke. As I said, you don't know these people.
But look, it still doesn't make any sense.
You just have to take my word for it, and it's happened right here in Philadelphia.
Yes, John, and we held the policy. It was an old lady...
Right. So there you have it.
Okay. Okay, I'll believe you. And so the finger points at Harrison R. Kenworthy.
Well, she might like to think that, especially since she doesn't know that poison was used both times, but I don't. What's more, the police feel the same.
Oh, now, if you say police dogs, I'll slug you.
John, there are times when this sense of
right,
humor of
Harry,
yours...
Right, Harry, dead right, and I do mean dead. No, in all seriousness, Johnny, if I were you, I'd duck out of this assignment.
Now, don't say that, Ray, unless John
is... No, go ahead and say it. Something ought to start to make sense around here.
All right, listen. The reason I'm sure Harrison R. Kenworthy had nothing to do with the attempted poisonings, the reason the police were called in, the reason I think you ought to
get
out of this...
Will you get to the point, Ray?
On each occasion, Mrs. Kelly Van Pyton had a bodyguard attending Laird Douglas, in addition to the dog's governess and medicos and so on.
Get to the point.
Each time, in order for the poisoner to get to that dog...
Ray, please.
Each time, the bodyguard was murdered. Still want this case, Johnny? Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, well, the joke's no longer a joke, especially when a killer trains his sights on me. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote tonight's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Lieutenant Steve Howard, homicide. I found word to call you there at your hotel.
Right. I'm an insurance investigator, Lieutenant, and...
Yeah, I've heard of you. Can I help you?
Well, I understand you're the man who handled a murder case at the Bala Kinwood dog show last year.
That's right. We're still working on it.
Oh, fine. Like to look over the setup for an attempted murder?
Uh-huh. Of who?
Me.
Stay right there, Mr. Dollar.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Company. Following is an accounting of expenditures incurred during my investigation of the Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote matter. And at this point, that name is no joke. Expense account item 3, 70 cents cab fare from the office of Harry Branson to my hotel. It was at Harry's office that I got the craziest assignment I'd ever taken. Bodyguard to Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote, who turned out to be a dog. And I mean that literally. A purebred Scottish Terrier who rated high enough in dogdom for somebody to make a couple of attempts on his life. Right now, it looked like somebody wanted me to be next.
What's all this talk about an attempt on your life?
Here, Lieutenant, take a look at this handbag of mine.
Huh?
Wait, don't touch it.
Huh?
I left it here on this little luggage stand about an hour ago, right after I checked in. Only before I left it, I opened it and took out my gun.
So?
So when I got back, just before I called you, I found the bag as you see it now, locked again.
Well, now, look here, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, I know. But if a chambermaid had been in here, there would have been other signs. You know, bed turned down, fresh towels in the bath, things like that.
Boy, you're a suspicious man. Are you sure you didn't lock it yourself after taking your gun out?
I'm sure. Anyhow, instead of opening it, I started to pick it up to put it on the bed to unpack. Here now, you lift it.
Why?
Because it weighs close to 25 pounds, and that's too much for nothing but an extra suit, a few shirts and shorts, some handkerchiefs and the like.
You check with the desk?
No callers that they know about.
Well, let me see. Yeah, that is pretty heavy.
And it doesn't tick. Now, look here.
Yeah?
Do you see where somebody on the fire escape used a pry bar to shove this window open?
Well, yeah. And those marks are fresh. Very fresh. Operator, get me Central Police.
Expense account item 4. Check for $29.50 to the nearest Bond clothing store for one pair of trousers to replace those torn by Laird Douglas Douglas of what's his name when I'd first met him in Harry's office. Item 5, phone call to Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van Pyton.
Well, don't you worry, Mr. Dollar. If you're delayed, you're delayed, and we'll just expect you here at the Maples when you get here. Your suite is all ready and waiting for you.
I'll be there as soon as I can.
Oh, I do hope you've had a suit made to replace those trousers little Laird Douglas tore. Why don't you have a couple of suits made and just charge them to me?
Thanks. Maybe I'll get around to that. Goodbye, Mrs. Van Pyton. First of all, I had to know what Lieutenant Howard found out about the suitcase he'd had his lab crew pick up. I took a taxi to headquarters. That's item 8, 65 cents.
Why, glad to see you, Dollar. Sit down.
Well, what'd you find out?
Dollar, that bag of yours had enough soup in it to blow out half the side of your hotel.
Oh, then I was right.
Yeah, professional job, too. Straight wire rig that would have gone off when you opened the bag.
Brother, I guess my lucky star is in the ascendant.
What made you suspect a booby trap, Dollar?
Last year and a few days ago, somebody tried to poison a dog.
Well, do I know.
Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote, Blue Ribbon Scotty, belonging to Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly
Van Pyton, yeah.
Right.
Apparently, the whole reason for it was to keep the pooch from winning the best of show at the annual dog festival, or whatever you want to call it, out at Bala Kinwood.
So I've heard.
I think it was more than that.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, don't tell me you subscribe to the idea that if the dog were to die, Mrs. Kelly Van Pyton would probably kick off, too.
No question about it.
Okay.
Well, you don't know her yet, or you wouldn't be so skeptical. Her whole life revolves about that dog. And her money, of course.
Now, from what I've seen, she just throws that away.
Of course she does. At least in small quantities. You know, a thousand or two here or there, even a 100,000 to some school or library or something where it'll show. But even that's only a drop in the bucket to her.
Lieutenant, I don't quite see what you're driving at.
Well, she is one of the remnants of a class in this country, fast dying out, thank goodness, that for generations has been cultured and conditioned into thinking that money is everything, that their whole destiny is to control vast industries, lands, railroads, oil, shipping, and people. People, Dollar, by means of their sheer financial prowess.
But I thought our present tax
situation... Yeah, sure, their day is almost done, but the few who are still around, like Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten, are hanging on for dear life, trying to add to their power.
Hey, Steve, you make a sweet, gabby, eccentric old lady sound like an ogre.
She is, no question. I'm sure she doesn't realize it.
Simply because this whole attitude has been so thoroughly ingrained into her all her life?
That's right.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Yeah, you'll see.
Well, look, let's get to the point. Who do you think might be trying to get rid of the old lady?
I haven't the least idea.
Well, no family, relatives?
Only living relative is her nephew, Warren Staley.
Ah.
Nothing.
You sure?
I haven't been able to pin a thing on him.
Where can I find this Warren Staley?
At the Maples.
He lives there with her, huh?
Yep.
And you're sure he would be her only beneficiary?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh. Good luck, Dollar.
Lieutenant Howard seemed to know what he was talking about. Nonetheless, I decided that the nephew, Warren Staley, would at least be a start. And the sooner I could move in at the Maples, the better. Item 9, 780 cab fares back to my hotel and out to the Maples in the suburb of Germantown. When I first saw the place, I could hardly believe my eyes. It looked like a regular castle perched atop a small hill. Even the gatehouse, nearly half a mile from the mansion, was big enough to house several families. But the mansion itself, wow. A rather stuffy-looking butler, after practically climbing up my family tree, escorted me to the reading room. Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten, and guess who? Whoops! Oh, easy now, Doug.
Oh, Mr. Dollar, I'm so glad you're here. And look, he remembers you.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
that sweet?
Yeah, it is. Attaboy, Doug. Easy
oh,
now.
And please call him Douglas.
Huh?
After all, the name Doug sounds so common, doesn't it?
Oh, you really think he cares, Mrs. Van Puyten?
Oh, you're joking, aren't you? Mr. Branson said you had quite a sense of humor. Now, did Hastings show you to your suite?
The butler? No, but he took my things.
Then I'll show you. I'm sure you'll love it and be quite comfortable. This way, please.
Yes. You coming, Doug? Douglas? Yeah. Attaboy. Attaboy.
Do you see how happy he is having you here? I am too, Mr. Dollar. Now we just... Oh, Warren, darling.
Huh?
Hello, Santa.
Mr. Dollar, this is my little nephew, Warren Staley.
Warren was 25 or so, bright, good-looking, and well but comfortably dressed. And at Mrs. Van Puyten's orders, he took me up to my suite. Living room, study, breakfast room, bath, and bedroom. And it still occupied only a small part of the second floor.
Now, here next to you are Dougie's rooms.
Wow.
One for sleeping and one for eating. Can you tie that? The dining room for a dog. And through that door is Mademoiselle Poirot, his governess. She feeds and bathes them.
And that's a full-time job?
Oh, sure. Most pampered dog in the country.
Brother, I'll go with you on that.
No doubt Tonto will ask you to keep this connecting door open at night.
Hey, sit down a minute, Warren. I'd like to talk to you.
Sure. I hope you're impressed by all this.
Are you kidding?
And Tonto will love you dearly. Say, would you like a drink? There's a cellarette here for your convenience.
Holy. Sure, scotch and soda.
Good. Rather foolish, though, isn't it? All of it?
What do you mean?
Oh, it's such nonsense to keep up an estate like this, just to keep face, so to speak.
Well, she can afford it, can't she?
Are you kidding?
You sound as though you don't enjoy this life of luxury.
Yeah, here's your drink. Enforced luxury to keep up the honor of the family. And I resent it.
Oh.
Without ever having to lift a finger, do an honest day's work. When she's gone, I'll be one of the wealthiest men in the country.
That's bad, huh?
Do you think it's strange that a fellow would like to stand on his own feet for a change, make something of himself, by himself?
Well, why not just pack up and leave?
You don't know Tata.
No, I guess I don't.
Oh, it's really more than that. I'm the only member of this family left, aside from Tata.
So I understand.
I'm the only one left to carry on the Van Puyten Empire. Now drink up.
Wait a minute. Branson used that term, too.
Yes, empire. Not only enough securities to sink a battleship, but controlling rights in steel, utilities, And most important of all, East Moreland Oil.
I see.
And what's most important about that is that I'll survive to keep control of East Moreland from Kenworthy.
Harris and I, Kenworthy.
Yeah? There's been a battle over East Moreland Oil for generations between the Van Pytons and the Kenworthys.
Say, tell me, does Kenworthy have any heirs?
One. His son, Ronald.
I see. What sort of a fellow was he?
Good friend of mine. We waste a lot of our time together. Oh, drink up, Mr. Dollar. I'm ready for another, and you haven't even touched yours.
Yeah, well, listen. I'm going to lay some cards on the table.
Shoot.
Somebody's been trying to get at Laird Douglas, the dog, presumably as a way of getting at your aunt.
It's true. If anything were to happen to little Dougie...
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Now, because of the intense rivalry between your aunt and Kenworthy, or rather between Laird Douglas and his pup, Lady Odidi's Mimi, or whatever her name is, anyway, Kenworthy should be number one suspect.
When you know him, you'll cross him off your list.
So Lieutenant Howard has told me.
But, go on.
All right. As sole beneficiary of the Van Pyton Empire, as you call it, you come in as fast number two on the list.
I can understand that.
But unless everything you've told me is a fancy fairy tale to throw me off, then...
Everything I've told you is true, Mr. Dollar.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
Nothing. Go on.
Okay. And mind you, Warren, I'm not forgetting for a minute that there's been a couple of murders involved in this whole screwy business. Plus an attempt on my own life.
Attempt on your... Dollar?
Hey, what gives you? Are you plastering on a little over one drink?
No, listen to me. I know. Now I know, and I can tell you, Dollar.
Tell me what?
The answer, the whole thing... Dollar!
Warren, what's the matter with you?
I can't breathe.
Hey, Warren!
Drink meant for you. Don't touch...
He died without another sound. I carefully sniffed the drink that had been poured for me, gingerly tasted it. Nothing. Nothing that I could spot. Yeah, poor Warren had probably been right. Whatever it was, had no doubt been meant for me.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, things and people finally begin to line up on the case. Just well enough for it to blow sky high. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote tonight's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Well, so far we've had, what, a Scottish laird, a dog show, and a bomb. What more can be waiting for yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in the Laird Douglas matter? Well, we'll find out next Sunday night as we continue those five parts from the week of April 9th, 1956, starring, of course, Bob Bailey. He was the best of all those Dollars as Johnny Dollar. Next up, it's Jimmy Durante with guest Dorothy L'Amour. You're listening to Old Time Radio here on the Ideas Network of WPR.